Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word. Remember that we have this man who was born lame from birth, from the very womb itself. He was 40 years old. And they would always take him and park him down by the gate beautiful. And there he was, and Peter came along with John and said, "Get up and walk." And he did. And it was the Holy Spirit, of course, that touched him and healed him. And the people observed this, witnessed it. And the Sadducees were very unhappy with this teaching, but they could find nothing wrong. And besides, now the church was 5,000 members, and they were afraid of the people. So they simply encouraged them not to talk about it anymore. But Peter said, "We'll obey God, not you." So here we pick it up where they are now departed from the Sadducees, as well as others, and they talk among themselves. Chapter 4, verse 22, the great book of Acts, how you're supposed to act as a servant of the living God. And verse 22 reads, "For the man was above 40 years old, this lame person, on whom this miracle of healing was showed." And there it was. He sat there all those years. Verse 23, "And being let go, they went," that is to say, Peter and John turned loose from the law. "Being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them." They talked it over. Are we going to listen to God, or are we going to listen to these numbskulls? Okay, they probably didn't use that terminology, but it'll fit. And naturally, they were going to listen to God. And the Holy Spirit encouraged them to hold the line. And you must do that today. Don't ever compromise the Word of God. Verse 24, "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." And so it is. He's the creator of all things. Do you realize that's your Father? Do you understand that? Everything there is, He created, and that's your Father. The Father of your very soul, because He wanted somebody just like you. Verse 25, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things?" Now, what prophet said that? Well, David did, of course, as it was stated. Where did he say that? Psalms 2. And it's even befitting even to this day. You're not going to have it, but I'm going to read through it rather rapidly without very much comment. Listen to that prophecy that he wanted you to go to. Why do the heathen rage? They rage today. Chapter 2, the great book of Psalms, verse 1. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" Nonsense is what it is. 2. "The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying," and they pass every law that is abominable, perverted against God's law, and expect a blessing. "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Don't pay any attention to them. Straighten it out. Take care of business. "He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." He'll lead them around by the nose until they sentence their own selves to where they belong. "Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." Boy, you don't want to get on that side of our Heavenly Father. "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." That's Christ. That's the Anointed One. That's the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. And he sent that Savior away for us to overcome the heathen, that rage, and to stay in the very path of God. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. We win. Any way you want to play the hand, the Holy Spirit will play it his way. Father will play it his way, and we win. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You know, the first advent, Christ came as a babe to be crucified, paying the price for all the sins of the world for those that would repent. He's returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with a rod of iron, not to be crucified, but to put in line everything that needs to be straightened. Perversion done away with. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That is to say, you reverence him, love him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Did you hear that? Blessed are you if you put your trust in him. If you put your trust in that one, he said, don't leave Jerusalem in the first chapter of this great book of Acts until you receive the gift I send, which was the Holy Spirit. And certainly they did receive that Spirit. But if you ever wonder why the heathen rage, you just found out. And watch them, observe them. But do not let that pull you away from that Father would have you do. Serve him joyfully. Call upon him and be blessed. It's better to be blessed than to have the wrath of God down on your neck, because one is hopeless that falls in that category. Okay, back to Acts chapter 4, the next verse, please. Verse 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Do you think they got a prayer of a chance? No. 27. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, and that is his name, the anointed one. That's what Christ means, Christos, the anointed one. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. In other words, God was in control, even of the crucifixion. Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and thy signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. It is written in Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, that your angel, if you be one of God's set aside ones, that is, if you love him, that your angel has the face of God at any moment. If somebody should offend you, if the heathen should rage against you. And besides, we know from the fact that it was counsel was determined before to be done. The crucifixion was written of 1,000 years before the fact in Psalms 22. Christ's words on the cross. That should strengthen your faith in Almighty God. It happens exactly the way it's written. Have you read it? That's what's important, so that you're not lost in a raging heathenistic world, but have direction as a compass straight to the very altar of God. And with God's blessings abounding all about you, we see this one that was lame from birth, 40 years. And God was able to raise him up as a witness before all these people that God is real. God is our Father. Okay, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. In other words, God answered their prayer. This is what the Holy Spirit does for you. This is looking forward, as it was back in chapter 2 of this great book of Acts, on Pentecost Day, when that was promised, the Holy Spirit, came upon them, and they spoke in every language of the world the Word of God. It's important that you know what they spoke. It was the Word of God. That's the word you read and the word you study when you study chapter by chapter and verse by verse to understand how to overcome the wickedness and the heathenistic practices of this world and be blessed by Almighty God in things that you do and always be bold in doing it. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. They were of one mind and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed as his own, but they had all things in common. This is those that were traveling the road together and were doing God's work, taking this new message after the crucifixion, spreading Christianity to the world with the gift of God providing. 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This resurrection into eternal life, it's yours if you want it. All you have to do is believe and follow him. 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands of or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. This is because of their travel. Bear in mind, at this time there was no television, no radio, that once you were going to take the message, you needed no anchor, no land, because you were going to be traveling. And a servant is always worthy of his hire, so to speak. 35, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. 36, and Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, 37, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, we're about to go into the fifth chapter, and I want to make a statement about it first. The message is, don't ever lie to the Holy Spirit. And many people, and the reason I'm doing this is because of senior citizens that are on fixed incomes, you will have people that will tell them, you know, send them letters of begging. God doesn't send out beggars. And when people are on fixed incomes, they cannot give of their daily life, which is to say their food, medicine, or housing, to somebody that's going to beg and not really have a purpose from God. Inasmuch as God is not a beggar, then you're not donating your money to God anyway, and it's not going to do you any good. Because God's never going to see it. Because why? God doesn't send out beggars. Any true man or woman of God will never beg. Why? It's one of the instructions given by Christ. You will not take a begging bag with you. So, therefore, I want that clear before we start, because many people misinterpret this chapter and rip a lot of people off with it. And they lose the object, which is don't lie to the Holy Spirit. You see, when you lie to the Holy Spirit, you're knocking on the door of the unpardonable sin if you be one of God's elect. You have to follow the Spirit and be honest with Him. Chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. They sold their land, too, and they kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, understand this. They had promised through the Holy Spirit to give all this price to the apostles. They didn't have to. It was theirs. And God would not hold it against them for holding back part for themselves. But they lied about it. You do not lie to the Holy Spirit. Verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? That's the subject, okay? And to keep back part of the price of the land. Do not ever, ever lie to the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, in the first place, our Father can read your mind. He's the cardio-knower. So he knows before the lie comes out of your mouth that you're lying. And so always be honest. Well, does that mean if I repent of something? Well, if you can't do it, then talk to him. Let him know, but don't lie to him. Verse 4. While it remained, that is to say, when it was all yours, was it not thine own? Question. In other words, you had the land, and then after you sold it, you had all the money. It was yours. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? It was all yours to do with as you chose. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. That's a no-no. And if you ever learn anything, you can understand why I don't want people to be put on guilt trips. But at the same time, the most important thing, don't ever, ever lie to the Holy Spirit. Don't ever, because why? It's God's Spirit and you're lying to Him. And He knows and He doesn't like it. Verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And here, this is a little severe, but it lets you know how final and unforgivable it can be for one of God's so-called anointed to lie to the Holy Spirit. This is why it is written, let's just take a moment here, this is why it is written in Luke chapter 12, verse 10, that when you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, you can kind of do whatever you want to with concerning Christ when he walked the earth in the flesh, but don't ever deny the Holy Spirit, for that is unforgivable. I mean, don't lie to the Holy Spirit. It is unforgivable, and it brings about, here is the example of a death, but it is death to and doomed to hell. It's unpardonable, and there is no way you can be heaven-bound in so doing. This teaching, I believe, looks forward to that time of Antichrist when God's elect must boldly step forward and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them. Do not deny Him. Verse 6. And the young man arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Now, It's important. Why would 3 hours be used here? That's a watch. A watch is very important. That's let's take this in the military sense, because the spiritual is far more serious. In the military, if you are on watch, all the men are asleep. And you are posted to give warning to any enemy that might come while they're asleep and destroy them. So their very lives are dependent upon you in your watch. That's why it's almost a hanging offense to go to sleep on watch, because you're putting your buddies at great risk. What is far more serious is that if you go to sleep on the watch, watching in these end times for the signs and the seasons of events that transpire, that are or should be warned of those in the first place, that maybe some that don't even know. But a watch is very important, and that's why it's mentioned here. Do not go to sleep on watch. Verse 8. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. She gave him a false price. I mean, she didn't know her husband had kicked the bucket. She's about to find out. Verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Don't do that, my friend. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. It's unpardonable. Unpardonable for one of God's elect to disallow the Holy Spirit. Again, I feel this points to one time. And that's, you'll read it in Luke 12, verse 10. Verse 10, then fell she down straightway, that's instantly, at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. And here it is, an example set forth, never lie to the Holy Spirit. That's what's important. There's no reason to. It would never gain you anything. Always be honest with your father. Verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Naturally, it was the severity of lying to the Holy Spirit, a lesson that need be learned. Verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, God kind of likes to test you a little bit occasionally. Listen to it. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Do you think they did it? Do you think the hands of the apostles did it? Answer, no. God used them, but it was the Holy Spirit. It was when they asked in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit did the miracles. The Holy Spirit brought to pass the healing and so forth. 13. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Don't ever leave the women out, as some preachers seem to have a tendency to do. God uses women. You know, when you look at a church even today to document the point, do you know who most of the workers are in a church? They're not men. They're women. Women do most of the work in a church to see that a ministry is brought forward than even men do. And don't forget the fact that there have been times in history that even when there lacked a leader, back in the time of the judges, there was no man that would lead Israel. Deborah was the judge. And Deborah said, go to war and take care of business. And no, we need a leader. She's bringing that chariot around here. She saddled up and she led them and they won the battle. So, you see, God uses whomever he chooses. So, be very careful, and there's no gender intended in that. Both men and women were joined to that church. 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Again, there's a kind of a test from God. Do you really think for a moment that the shadow of Peter would heal somebody? Answer, no, it would not. But the fact that the faith of the man who cast the shadow in the Lord Jesus Christ and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit is what brought the healing and the direction and the guidance. Don't ever take any of the credit of the away from Almighty God through the Holy Spirit or of the Son. Man can only execute. It is the Holy Spirit that accomplishes. Verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem. That word gets around. Bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed. How many? Every one. Again, who did it? The Holy Spirit did. There is one point in this I want you to notice, that there were illnesses that were sick, but there were also unclean spirits. There are two different things. Don't ever let anyone tell you any different. And there are sicknesses and there are evil spirits. But they are two separate things. Verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. I mean, here, what kind of church is this that they run, these Sadducees? I mean, every one of them was healed. Every one of them was made rid of evil spirits. And here, these people are enraged with jealousy. I mean, after all, they've got a church right down here. Here, all this is going on out in the street. And they've got coffers. They sell doves. They have money changers. We have services. And they're emptying our house out. That's what they're indignant about. They're indignant because the Holy Spirit was accomplishing what they could not. This is why you can always serve God with boldness, because he gets it done. Man cannot. But the Holy Spirit, that's why you never want to lie to the Holy Spirit, because he gets it done. I mean, no ifs, no ands, no maybes. Don't ever play church. For Christianity is not a religion. It's a reality. It's life. He's real. That spirit is real. Verse 18. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. I mean, put them right down in the public prison. 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, 20, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. In other words, you go in there, this life being the resurrected life, the life of Christ. I'm freeing you out of this prison. Don't you run and hide. You go right downtown, you go right into their temple, their synagogue, And you teach the truth about the resurrection of this life. You see, the Sadducees did not believe in life after death. God wanted the point made. And after all, God is in control. Again, the point being in this lecture, do not lie to the Holy Spirit. It never, ever pays any dividends. And it will always bring damage to your life. Always be honest with our Heavenly Father. But he said, I mean, you go forward and you be bold. Well, they got thrown in prison. But who took them out? This is God saying, I'll take care of my own. Go do my business. And that's as it is. You can all, this is why God can't quite tolerate wimps to do his work. You got to be bold. You got to do it right. Verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. That'll be interesting. 22. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told. In other words, who's in control here? God is. God is in control. He will do it his way. And that's what you can count on. That's why you want to always be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and to our Father and to the Holy Spirit. He is always able to take care of his own, which in this case, he took care of business. He protected them. Don't miss the next lecture. We'll see how it goes. Father is still on the throne. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the mark of the beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. Do not judge people. We will not judge people. We have one judge, that's our Father. It is right for you to discern who you should fellowship with. The Holy Spirit gives you that unction. It's a gift called spiritual discernment. But at the same time, don't judge. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, you got a prayer request. You don't need the number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. The Holy Spirit knows what you're thinking. Always let him know you love him. That's what he truly wants from you. He doesn't want your burnt offerings, as it's written in Hosea 6:6. He wants your love. And he may not love what you're doing, but he does love you. And repent. Let him know that you love him and be blessed. Won't you do that? Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We've got Frank from Ohio. Where in the Bible does it speak of one to be taken and one will be left? And where does each one end up, saved or unsaved? Is this the sixth trump or the seventh trump? Well, Frank, what this is written in Matthew 24. And what is the subject? That the false Christ comes before the true Christ. Therefore, the first one taken from the field is taken by the Antichrist. Now, if somebody worships the Antichrist, where do you think they go? They sure don't go to heaven. Okay. And now, there is a problem with this, and this happens after the sixth trump because the Antichrist is here. But there are some that haven't been taught because the churches haven't taught the truth that the false Christ comes first. The false Christ message is, I'm going to fly you out of here. And they're ready to get on board. That's what they're taught in their so-called church. Just winning friends and influencing people here. But the one that remains working in the field against the false Christ is heaven bound. You can count on it. God expect, you know, this is what Mark 13 is all about. Is that when you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, don't you premeditate what you will say beforehand, but the Holy Spirit will speak through you at that time. That's why you never want to lie to the Holy Spirit. He wants to use you. And that way the truth goes to the whole world at those trials. The first one taken, taken by Antichrist, hell bound, if he doesn't change his ways in the millennium. And the other, the one that keeps working, doing in the field, doing God's work, he's heaven bound. Donald from Kentucky, question, where are the apostles of John in the Bible and why are they called that? I can't find that word in the Bible and I watch twice each day. Well, thank you for that. The apostles of John were of the apostles of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's ministry began before Christ did. Christ's ministry, for a short period before. But you will read of it in Matthew chapter 11, along about verse 3, where John would send two to the Lord. And the question was, kind of a bad interpretation, but it means, is this the advent, or do we look forward to another advent to come? And naturally the answer was, to an advent to come. Excuse me. But what did Jesus say about that, John? He said, what did you go out there in the wilderness to hear? A reed shaken in the wind? Somebody that listened to some Joe Blow over here 30 minutes and then somebody over here and is wishy-washy, changes their mind all the time? Uh-uh. You heard John the Baptist straight on, straight down, and know how that's the way it is, all right? And that's how John the Baptist was. Frank from Virginia, I would like Pastor Murray or Dennis to explain Luke 12:33. Is this for the use today? I hope I get an answer. What it says is in Luke 12:33 is you want to get rid of your excess baggage you have with you that you got maybe ill-gotten. You don't want to store up treasures like ill-gotten gains. But you want to store your treasures up in heaven. That means you want to do righteous acts. Because your righteous acts are what creates the linen that you wear in heaven. You got no righteous acts. Baggage here on earth is not going to weave you any clothing there. And this is strictly biblical. You can read it. That this linen is made from your righteous acts in Revelation chapter 19 along about verse 7 or 8. Okay, so there you got it. KY from West Virginia. In Genesis chapter 9, when Ham uncovered his father's nakedness, you mentioned a chapter in Leviticus, I think, that referred to the meaning about Ham sleeping with his mother. What chapter and what verse was that? Thank you. Well, it's very simple. It's Leviticus chapter 20, verse 11. And that's what uncovering your father's nakedness means. It's an idiom that simply means you seduced your mother, okay, or your father's wife. You know, back at that time, sometimes men had more than one wife. But that still was the meaning. You seduced your father's wife. Ham got both Noah and his wife with the new wine, and this dastardly act was done, and then the brothers took a blanket and put it over their mother after the fact. But unfortunately, this is why Canaan was not driven away by God, but by Noah, because it wasn't Noah's child. Okay. You can also find the same idiom in Leviticus 18:8. That's easy to remember. Leviticus 20:11 or 18:8. Jerry from Kentucky, thank you for teaching the Word of God where anyone can understand it. Well, you're so welcome. We strive for that. I want to know if God walked with Adam and Eve. I get this from Genesis 3, verses 8. Or did they just mean the voice of God? Thank you for your attention. Well, he was there with them. His presence was there, and de facto. And he straightened their case out, too, asking what they had done, because they had disobeyed him. Diane from South Carolina, why did Jesus go to hell? Please answer it on TV. Well, when he was in the tomb, as it's written, he did go to all those that had passed on all the way back to the time of Noah. You can read of that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. What did he go there for? To preach the same gospel that you have an opportunity to hear, because those that had already passed on and were in paradise had never heard it. In other words, the price hadn't been paid on the cross. Therefore, they could not repent without offering sacrifices and so forth to have sin forgiven. So Christ went to them and preached this word, and they were able, on loving him and repenting, to be freed from that sin. Why? It would be very unfair of our Father if he took all the children before Christ's time that had passed on, who did not have the opportunity of salvation through the Messiah, Yeshua. It would be very unfair for them to have to stand on the law when salvation through repentance after the crucifixion. Therefore, he sent him there to free those prisoners. And if you keep reading into chapter 4 of 1 Peter, you find out he was very successful. He freed a lot of them. Margaret from Texas. My question is, are there only going to be 144,000 people saved at the last days? And what is the difference between the 7,000 and 144,000? I think the 7,000 are the very elect. Am I mistaken? No, you're right. But to answer your question, the 144,000 are set aside in Revelation chapter 7. I want you to take a home assignment. I want you to read concerning those 144,000 from each of the tribes, but I want you to keep reading just following that, and you will see that there is a number of people already there at the time of the writing of the book of Revelation, so many that you could not count them, who had already washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. It's important that you know, washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, meaning they overcame. So there is many, you couldn't even count them. So 144,000 are just people that God will use to spread his word through the millennium. They're even going to go astray when Israel goes astray. As you can read that in Ezekiel chapter 44. But then that's a very deep subject in study over a period of time, but it is true, and God Zadok, which is his elect, can help them and does. That also Ezekiel 44. Now, Kayla from Washington, and she's 10 years old. I really enjoy your program. Why does there have to be a war between us? Why doesn't God just take the people that he knows will trust him and obey his laws? Well, he can do that. He could have done that in the first earth age, but he would have had to have destroyed a third of his children. And some of them have to learn the hard way. And by providing a savior for them, hopefully we can save some of them. God doesn't want to lose one child. You can read this, hon, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. God is long-suffering. I mean, he's got lots of patience. It is his will or wish that all come to repentance. They won't. But he wants to give them that opportunity. It's so that he can save his children's lives. That's what it's about, okay? Okay, Patricia from Maryland. Were the angels God's first creation, and are we angels? Let us make man in our image refers to God and the angels, correct? Elohim, that's correct. I want you to make a home assignment. Proverbs chapter 8, that's Wisdom Speaks. And wisdom basically lays out the creation and when man was added in unto it, which were angelic beings at that time. And it will tell you, okay? A second question. Will the fallen angels that are released to the earth able to change their appearance in order to deceive the world along with Satan? No, they have their own bodies, and they're lookers. They sure are. Satan was made the full pattern, most beautiful, and even he will be here. But they will be transformed into this age when they're kicked out of heaven as the role of Antichrist and his followers, his kings. You don't want to be deceived by them. Wayne from Wisconsin. I have a TV question to be answered on the air. In the Garden of Eden, God punished Adam to take from the earth. But nowadays, we have combines, reapers, and harvesters to make it easy to harvest from the earth. And from the harvest, we can go so far as to have a gourmet meals. Something doesn't add up for this being a punishment. What is your thought? I can tell you never farmed any, have you? It isn't just a matter of harvesting. You have to till, you have to sow, you have to cultivate, you have to risk great sums of money for weather and for a season of growth, and then of harvesting, and that's always in the heat. And then that has to be hauled to the elevator so that city folks can have a little... For you to say that that's not hard work, like I said, I can sure tell you've never been a farmer. Farming is good, clean, hard work, and how precious it is. Thank God he gave us ingenuity, the children of Adam, to be able to invent tools that make our work easier. But if we didn't do the harvest, people would starve. It keeps God's children alive. It's still work. Carol from Ohio, please explain the difference of what is faith, predetermined, or God's will, not to be confused with free will. Well, God's predetermined plan is his word. He had this plan and he writes it down. As it's written in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, you don't even know what to pray for. Therefore, God intercedes in your life if you're one of his set aside ones, saints, elect. And that is, you were foreordained or predetermined even from the first earth age when you stood against Satan and documented to him, you could cut it. He said, continues on, 26, 27, 28, that you were justified, judged there. And certainly God knows he can trust you. God's will, it's his word. I quoted it already to that little girl a while ago, the 10-year-old, that God's will is, you can read it in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 or 8, somewhere along right there. It is God's will. He has much patience, long-suffering. That's what patience means. And it is His will that all come to repentance. He wants all of His children to be saved. They won't be because they're stubborn. But it's His will. But He predetermined all this, so there's no surprises for anyone if you read it. Betty from Arizona. Matthew chapter 5, 20... I don't know. I think that's a date. What does Jesus mean if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out? If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off? Well, first of all, He's not talking about your physical body. He's talking about the many-membered body. That is to say, all the Christian groups everywhere. And some of them are a mouth. The word comes from there that is picked up on many of the other places, and that word is carried. Some do this work and some do that work. But if you ever get one group, this is what He's talking about, that goes fruitcake on you, that's to say they go down Primrose Lane and start false teaching, then you cut yourself loose from them. Don't you have anything to do with them? Or they will take the whole body down. That's a hard lesson for some people to learn. When somebody goes fruitcake and becomes false teachers, you cut yourself loose from them, or the whole body goes down. It's a bad reputation against Christianity. Satan himself likes to try to destroy that reputation as best he can. But sometimes so-called Christians, this is what Christ warned us about in Mark 13. He said, many are going to come in My name claiming to be Christian preachers. Don't let them deceive you. So you cut yourself loose from them. But don't harm your body. Okay, Janet from Arizona. I would like to anoint my husband with oil and ask God to heal him, give him strength by faith. How do I anoint him with oil the correct way? Well, you take olive oil of our people. You can buy it at any grocery store, pure olive oil. Put a little bit in a vial and ask God to bless it as for anointing oil. Put a tad on your forefinger and place it on his forehead. And in the name of Jesus Christ, anointed with the oil of our people, that Christ heal him, lead him, strengthen him, and protect him. That's the correct way of doing it. Okay, from D from Georgia, Pastor Murray, should I witness to an atheist even if they want nothing to do with Christianity? Wouldn't this be casting pearls before swine? Absolutely. You don't want to waste your time with them. The fact that you live a good Christian life and God blesses you is a good example for an atheist. But if somebody doesn't want to hear a word and they cut you off, don't go casting your pearls before swine. They're just not meant to hear yet. But the very fact that you set a good life and God blesses you, pretty soon some people go down so far they say, hey, I need help. I need a touch of that. I need God to kind of kick the big rocks out of the road of life for me, where I can maybe get ahead a little bit. He can do that. For God's on the throne and He's in control. But don't waste your time or cast your pearls before swine. You're too good a person for that, to waste your time on swine. Not going to get you anywhere. And Betty from Tennessee, Betty, don't listen to beggars. God doesn't send beggars, and you're throwing your money away when people beg. Okay, letters, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we're going under if you don't help. Well, if God wants them to go under, let them go under. Because God doesn't send out beggars. If they're really doing God's work, they don't have to beg. God will see to it. There will be people wise enough that they will support that ministry. Do not be taken in by them, especially when you're on fixed income. And you simply tithe where you're fed, not to a bunch of beggars. Okay, let's see who this is from. This is from Debbie from South Carolina. My question for you is, how do you know you are saved for sure? Is it the devil telling me different? Well, it's, do you love the Lord? John 3:16, simplest scripture in the Bible. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him wouldn't perish. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you're saved. And all you have to do is get in his word and study, and don't let Satan whisper in your ear. And I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's word. Most of all, God loves you for it. Makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. Bless God. He will always bless you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, again, blessing God, he always blesses you. But you know what's most important? It's this, and you listen to me good. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on